Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again. How we praise you that you have given us your word of truth. Pray that you would speak that word to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Peter writes, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Do we know what that means, to be called out of darkness? Do we understand the significance? In this verse, Peter identifies our starting point in our relation with God, our relationship with God, as darkness. He calls us out of darkness. We begin in the dark, all of us. If you have believed in Jesus Christ, God has called you out of darkness. He didn't call you out from your good moral lifestyle or your kindness or your good intentions. He called you out of the deep darkness that Adam brought into this world when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But thousands of people sitting in churches across our great country this morning will not hear that message. They will be given false IDs, fake credentials identifying them as Jesus followers, ticket in hand and on their way to heaven. But how could this be? Because they will hear preaching that downplays the darkness of the sin of humanity. They will hear about the marvelous light and the identity of the children of God as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's own possession will be eloquently and powerfully expounded from the pulpit. But what they will not hear is that they must start from the darkness. As we have seen, our starting point must be the darkness, because God calls his people out of darkness. If someone is coming to visit you and calls you and asks for directions to your house or your place of business, what is probably the first thing that you ask them? Where are you right now? Where are you right now? You have to know their starting point to give them good directions. This morning, as I speak in churches across our country, people will hear directions to heaven along the wide road of destruction because their preachers refuse to begin with the darkness as God's starting point for salvation. The biblical doctrine of the depravity of humankind teaches us that we begin in the darkness. It is only against this darkness, in this backdrop of the darkness and the blackness of sin, that we understand the marvelous light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Only in understanding fully where we were in the darkness do we understand where we are and understand our call to the marvelous light, the glory of God. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Yes, we're in the New Testament again, going through our Genesis series. One of my struggles when we're more topical like this is finding a way to bring this all together. And I think you'll see my intent very shortly as we begin through this. But in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into, rather, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our salvation journey begins in the darkness. Isn't it something? Now, we have been going through in Sunday school trying to learn the best way possible to approach God through a study of his word. And sometimes the most simple things are the most profound. And I was looking for a linchpin for this week's study, and I read that, and we read that, and we understand it, but then the significance hit me. Then it says, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. And I thought, there is our significance. The ones who God calls into marvelous light, they were out of darkness. We began looking at last week the depravity of humanity and how that when Adam and Eve, they were created in the image of God. And you've got a pretty good chart on the inside of your study notes, and we're going to look at that. But that image, and it was perfect, and God had done everything in his perfect and good and very good way. But what happened then to the image of God is it was corrupted. It was corrupted when they disobeyed God and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what that doesn't mean is that everything that people do is bad. No, what it means is that the connection with God was forever broken. It was irreparable. The connection was lost, that they had rebelled, and we had rebelled, and whether we can understand it or not, but then every person after Adam, we have inherited this sin nature, the depravity. It explains to us how we can be so wonderful and so awful at the same time. You know, sometimes, and your sheet last week, and I said we might go through that this week, and we're not, but it was one of your study sheets, and it was ways that we can, things that can help us in understanding a proper, the doctrine of the depravity of man. And one of those is that we no longer, if you understand the depravity of God, Okay, no lightning. I can continue. If you can understand the depravity of mankind and you set that up against the glory of God, we never, ever again have to be afraid of the darkness. Not afraid of the darkness out there by some terrorist act. Not afraid of the darkness of the political situation. Not afraid of the darkness inside, because we understand that God completely dealt with the darkness. Jesus Christ at Calvary, when the Son of God came, all of the darkness. And if we're still looking inside and we're wondering, can God forgive that? Then we don't understand the glorious light. You probably cannot, you think, oh, how could I do something like this? How could I think this? How could I have said that and hurt that person? How can I be such a person like that? You probably cannot imagine in your mind. You probably could not go there to the depths of your darkness, the things that you are actually capable of doing in the deep darkness that has covered the land since Adam and Eve rebelled. I hope you follow what I'm saying. That so you think, well, how could God forgive me from this? Well, he can forgive you from much worse. So if we understand the depravity of man, we understand that we were dead in our sins. That's the person who God saved at just the right time. Christ came to save sinners. So we don't have to ever again be afraid of the darkness. Sometimes it helps us, maybe we don't, it helps us in understanding because we'll say, well, that person, what a hypocrite they are, because they were acting like this and now look, they're acting like that. Now they may be a hypocrite, and there are plenty of those around, and sometimes we don't have to go any further than just go look in the mirror to find one. But understanding the depravity, understanding that the first image, the pattern was Adam. It was the natural man, and it was perfect. It was God's work that is fallen. And we see, but the image is there, the goodness of God is there, it's just not goodness that can save. So we can see how a person can be so wonderful and so awful. So maybe they're not being a hypocrite, maybe they're just being who they are. You follow what I'm saying? Because if we're very honest, we know how we are. And we can be good, very, very good. And when she was good, she was very, very good. And when she was bad, she was horrid. And there we go. There's our teaching. It's close our Bibles and we can go home. But no, this is the person who God brought redemption to. But that's why we need to understand the darkness. We need to understand Ephesians chapter 2, dead in our trespasses and sins. We need to understand a little bit later in Ephesians, we were without God and no hope in this world. That's the darkness. That's our beginning point. That's where we all start, dead in our sins. We understand Psalm 51 verse 5, that even when we were born in sin. And that's not talking about the sex act of your parents. That's talking about your spiritual state. We understand that God calls us out of the darkness. If he called you from anywhere else, then we have to wonder if we're holding on to the true gospel. So our salvation journey begins in the darkness. We were created in the image of God, but that image was corrupted. Now, if you'll look on these sheets, I've broken this down. What we have is, and it's my designation, image of God version 1.0. You know, you get software and you get the new package and it says this is version 9.1134. Well, this is image of God version 1.0 and image of God version 2.0. Okay, it's both. Mankind was created. Let's just go there, back to Genesis 1:26. Let's go to Genesis 1:26. And all of you haven't been here for our study. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, etc. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And in Genesis 5, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Okay? Now, that's image of God, man being made in the image of God, version 1.0. Now, that image, and we can still see the goodness in it. We can still see the majesty and the glory of God in it. But it's corrupted. It's tainted. It's blemished. And that's who we are now until we come to Christ. And then through rebirth, regeneration, now God is recreating us. The new creation is based on a different pattern. Okay? If you could just follow, let's just do this. Let's follow down our columns on this study sheet. Image of God version 1.0. Process was creation, procreation. Okay? Image of God version 2.0 was transformation, a metamorphosis. When you come to Christ. Now, the one is a natural body. The other is a spiritual body. The pattern of the first is Adam. The pattern of the second is Jesus Christ. The first was passed along natural birth. The version 2.0 begins at supernatural rebirth. The status on image of God version 1, arrow down, perfect at creation, now fallen, stained, blemished through Adam's sin. Status of version 2.0, rebirth begins God's perfect work toward ultimate glorification at the coming of Jesus Christ. Viability rating, quality of life is mortal. That version 1 is mortal, dead. Quality of life version 2 is immortal, life in Christ. The designation for the old version 1.0 is the old self. For the new version is the new self. Okay, I'm losing some of you a little bit, but just bear with me. I'm going to really try to bring this together, and I think you'll have an aha moment when I can bring it together. Now, if we could come down to the references on the right side, on your right column, Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, if you have trusted in Christ, this is where you are now. You are in the process, metamorphosis, not of the, let's go down just to the next one. 1 Corinthians 15:49. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. You see, one, the image of God, that Adam was made in the image of God. And that body and everything about him was, the image was suitable for earth. Okay? Adam was the first Adam, the man of dust, the earthy. It even tells you it was the earthy. Okay? That image is corrupted beyond repair. There needed to be a reclamation work, redemption. That's why Jesus Christ came. Now, if we have believed in Christ and we've received his gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, okay, now God is recreating us. He's transforming us, not to the earthly image anymore, but our image now, our picture, our pattern is Jesus Christ. Okay, and it is suited for the eternal. It is suited for heaven. It is suited for, it's not built for this earth. Adam, the image of God, Adam was built for this earth. This is the best way. I'm glad I thought of that. Adam was built for earth. We are now being built for heaven. But here's the amazing part, folks. Jesus Christ is our pattern. See, we can't let that significance. We were brought from darkness into marvelous light. I think the marvelous light is speaking of the glory of God. See, we need to know who we are. We need to know who we are becoming. It helps us to live up to that. We get the clear instruction, and we have in Ephesians 4 and in Colossians 3, it talks about the old self, the way the old self does business, and the new self, the way the new self does business. That's the old image, how it acts, and the new image, the template that we have, how we should be living our lives. But to understand that God is bringing us to glory, and we are never going to be exactly like Jesus Christ. It's not like how he's described in Philippians. It's not that. But we are being made in his image. Now let's go back to those verses, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew were on the right side of the column below the big fat yellow line. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. 1 Corinthians 15:49, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. The man of heaven, again, is Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of designations. The man of the earth, the man of dust, the man of heaven, the first Adam. And who's the last Adam? Jesus. The Bible is Christ. And we see our pattern. So the pattern has changed. One was built for earth, the other one, and for this time on earth, the other one is built forever for heaven. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18, just going down that column. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. What image is that? The image of the Lord. This is high and lofty promises from God to us. See, one of our problems in living out the Christian life that we still have from the first rebellion, when Adam and Eve said, I'm going to take of that tree and I'm going to be able now to set standards for good and evil. And one of our problems that can be a big problem is that our standard is not high enough, because God's standard always is his glory. And we come up with lesser. I had a man and he thought he was encouraging me. And it was very discouraging. It was our church in northern Michigan. And he was coming on the board. And he said, I just want to be the best board member possible. And I thought, boy, you really got your sights low. It wasn't, I want to, I want to be a man of God and spiritual insight. I want to be a man of the book. I want to be an elder pleasing before my Lord. He looked around and the guys sitting around the table, those were his template. What a low standard. What a low standard. Or we have a standard for our church. We want to be the friendliest church in town. Now, a couple things first. Is it a bad thing to want to be a good board member just in and of itself? No, you should want to do well. But the standard is so low, but we have these church standards. Is it a bad thing to want to be a friendly church? No, but that standard is much lower. God calls us to pour our lives out in love to the people around us. But see, in the Garden of Eden, God, they took from that tree and they said, now we can decide good and evil. We can not only, didn't only introduce evil into the world, but it introduced our idea of good. And our idea is a lot of times, well, this is good enough, but it's not. It's not, our goal is not good enough. It's not high enough. It's not lofty enough. We have no sense of vision and mission and purpose if we just want to be a good member of Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. Your sights need to be set on glory. And if they're not, and if they're not set on glory, then what have we accomplished if we even come to that goal? Verse Ephesians 4:24, it says, and to put on the new self. What is the new self? It's the image of God version 2.0, the one that's been being built for heaven. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Folks, does that grip your heart and your soul? That this is the work that God's doing in your life. He is going to fashion you and me after himself, after his beloved son. Do you see how high and lofty this is, what God calls us to? If we could go back to our 1 Peter text, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You see, God sets the standard. We lower, well, I'll try to be a good member, or I want to look around at these men, and I want to be a good board member like them. Boy, set your sight higher than that. Set it on the glory of God. Because this is who we are. We wonder why we can't escape the mundane. We wonder why we can't escape the pettiness and the bickering, because our sights are too low. We're not living worthy of which the manner which with which we have been called. We have a high and holy calling, and we have our standard far too low. We don't understand. Now, we can fiddle and bump and mess around, and God's still going to complete his perfect work. But don't you think you'll have a lot more joy and satisfaction before the throne of God when you at least cooperated a little bit, when it got through this thick thing here and we embraced this calling? Because look what it says, his own possession, that we weren't just saved to go to heaven. That's a pretty good perk of salvation, isn't it? But how many times do we just... I'm trusting in Jesus to go to heaven. Oh boy, your sight, you sure missed it again. We trust to become God's, his royal priesthood, his chosen race, a holy nation, his own possession, a faithful, loyal child of God. You just want a ticket to heaven? Come on. No, there's a purpose here, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, the person who has been called out of darkness into marvelous light can't help but proclaim the excellencies of God, of His mercy, of His grace, of His holiness, of His righteousness. We embrace God's standard, not thinking at all that we could ever live up to that standard of on our own, but our sufficiency is Christ. We embrace it and we exult in it. When you knew you were dead and you knew you were in the deep darkness, you knew there was no Christ, no God, no help, no hope. And when He called you out of that darkness, you sing the praises of God and His glorious gospel and His marvelous light. Colossians, back on your study sheet, Colossians, bottom verse, right-hand column, Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Again, the high and lofty calling. Well, let's just turn over to Colossians for a minute. We're doing really well on time, so let's just go over there. And let's see what this new self, you know what can be troubling is, to some, this pattern. Again, the old self is the reflection of image of God, version 1.0, the fallen, corrupted, stained, blemished. That's why you have then that self, I don't see it at the moment. You can hang there. I'm going to pop over to Ephesians for a minute, 4, if you want to. You can follow me there. Keep your hand in Colossians. But the old self, version 1.0, the fallen, stained, blemished image of God, version 1.0, Ephesians 4:18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They callous, given themselves to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is image of God, version 1.0. That's the pattern. That's the lifestyle. Now, over in Colossians, and it gives the new self too in Ephesians, but we're going to look at it in Colossians. Image of God that we are being fashioned into now, the image of Christ. Again, the one was built for earth, but now this is the one that, if we've believed in Christ, we're on the track of the one image of God, version 2.0, built for heaven. And this is our pattern then. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, as God's chosen you, he's got you in this transformation, this metamorphosis, he's building you for heaven. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. See, when you are overcome with majesty, when your vision of what God is doing in your life overwhelms you and takes over, and you have this vision of life, and you see the greatness of God, and much of it comes out from living this lifestyle, the pattern of version 2.0, then that's why you have peace, and it doesn't matter what's going on, but the peace of God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. That is the life that's called the new self in the New Testament. And it's always opposed to the old self. The old self based on version 1.0, fallen, corrupted, blemished. The new self based on the new, updated, ready for eternity. That when we see Jesus Christ, we have this word glorification. Glorification means when we see Christ at God's time of choice, like that work will be complete. And for whatever he means by that, we will perfectly reflect his glory, and we will be recognized as being created in the image of Jesus Christ. We had said earlier, the one, it comes from birth. When you're born onto the planet, you're born by fallen image 1.0. This is the depravity of man. That's the darkness. We've got to start there. If you don't start at the darkness, the depth of sin, then God tells us he calls us out of darkness. But then there's the rebirth, and this is what Nicodemus came and talked to Christ about. And he had a question, and Jesus basically said, you must be born again. Of course, we had the born again craze years ago, and who knows if everyone really knew what they meant or not, but the teaching is valid. It's speaking of regeneration and the new birth, the rebirth. That then is image of God version 2.0. Now that is happening. If you have trusted in Christ and received his gift of eternal life, version 2.0 is happening in your life. And God will bring it to perfection. God gives us our identity. We don't give us the identity. Only those who have dwelt in great darkness are able to exalt in and embrace the great light. If we just think just God kind of moved us over, but when we understand where we are from, our hearts, and we have to be reminded, and Peter writes about that. He said, have you forgotten your sinfulness? Have you forgotten your starting place? So I want to ask us this morning, where are you? See, I want to give you directions to heaven, but I need to know where you are. It's just like if you called me, and we've had different people come and visit, and they say, well, you know, we're I said, tell me exactly where you are. And we don't need to do this as much anymore with GPS systems and nav apps on our phones and things like that. But tell me right where you are, because I have to know the starting point. And see, as the pastor of this church, I can't assume that you started in the darkness. I mean, you're in the darkness whether you realize it or not. But I want to give you directions. But I need to know where you are. I want to direct you to the marvelous light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But I need your coordinates. I need your coordinates. Do you know where you are this morning? Do you know where you are? I'm not saying I'm just sitting in pew 33 at Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. I mean, time and space set in the context of eternity. Maybe we're in about year 8,000 of Earth history. Yeah, we know those things. All that you set, that point in time. Are you version 1.0? Are you still living in your goodness? Are you still living in the high ideals of humanity or religion or philosophy or psychology or sociology? If you are, you're still version 1.0. You haven't discovered yet that you're in the darkness and that you need the marvelous light. But the joy that's there, and if you have acknowledge that you were in the darkness and that you've acknowledged your sin before God and you've come to him and believed in Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption forgiveness of sins through his blood, then you're right there in that 1 Peter 2:9, one of his chosen ones, called out of darkness into light. I want to give you directions to heaven. Where are you? There's fake credentials given on the wide road, and there the people end up in Matthew 7 saying, "Lord, Lord," and they pull out, I don't have my wallet, but we'll pretend this is a wallet, and they'll pull out their religious card or their good works or whatever, and Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." See, they were lied to. They were lied to. They didn't. Whoever gave them directions, they didn't give them the right starting point. And they were going along, and they were convinced, "Lord, but we did this, and Lord, but we did that." Jesus said, "I never knew you." See, you got to have the right starting point. I want to give you directions. Where are you? That's only the question only you can answer. Where are you before God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to know that. And if we're still lost, Lord, if we're still in the darkness and we haven't looked to you to call us out into your marvelous light yet, then, Lord, that person or people here today that you would speak to their heart, your Holy Spirit would put a tremendous burden on them. But, Father, what's probably more relevant to most of us is that we need to have a vision of life as you would give it to us, that there are we, even as believers, Lord, so often our standards are so low in the way we speak to people, the way we speak about people, the way we relate to people, how trivial, Father, we are. We've got the divine words of God, our Bibles, and are too low, Lord. We're not looking to the glory of God. Help us that are there. That version 2.0, and we're being transformed. The metamorphosis is happening into this beautiful, powerful, supernatural creation built for heaven. But help us to honor you in the process, Lord God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.